We particularly wanted to ask Emmanuel just to come and share with us after this. You know, very much we're in the middle of a series of a time focusing on mission and what mission means for us. Obviously, what Nessa's been talking about here is primarily about our mission. And we just thought it would be really, really good to hear and then pray for Emmanuel around his heart for mission and his ministry. And just what the Spirit's saying to him that can help us. So, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Paul. It is good to be with you this morning. I invite you on a quick journey in the next few minutes around the world. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Church leadership has given me this opportunity to share about my global missionary ministry. And you wonder, missionary ministry? He lives in South Buckinghamshire. He doesn't preach in villages in Asia. He doesn't feed malnourished children in Africa. How is that a mission ministry? The missionary ministry that God has given me is to equip mission leaders across the world. And I stand here and I tell you, had you told me when I first came to River a number of years ago that this is how God would use this, it has exceeded my wildest dreams already. And I want to give you four quick snapshots of what that looks like. And I group it around the four key activities of my work. The first one is research, and the picture will show up in a moment. Tim will do that for us. There it is. I like to see myself as a journalist of God. So I have this awesome privilege that where the church is growing explosively, where there's rapid church growth in the places around the world, local network leaders invite me to document what's happening. So I do this always with a team. So I train a local team beforehand, and we go into this church movement and interview ordinary disciples and leaders and basically want to find out, how do you guys do church? How do you live discipleship? What is the spiritual DNA here in this place that there is such healthy growth happening? And we also want to find out, how do you transfer this from one disciple to the next, from one group to the other, from one church to the next? What are other factors here at play that the church is growing in this amazing way? Now, a journalist, as you know, wants to publish what they find, right? They want to publish an article in The Guardian or in some journal. And that is the second key activity. I then publish reports with the essential findings of my research to tell the global church. I publish in journals, I publish books, and I publish my own blog. So journals, that means journals that are read by church leaders or church planters. Also, I publish in some more academic journals. In other words, the articles will be read by missions professors or by professors of church ministry. And then there, I mentioned book. So this is a title of one of the books I've published. And live as we speak, I'm grateful to present to you the title of my next book. This is about, other than Anna, you're the first who will see. This is what the cover will look like. It will go to the publisher this month. I basically want to be faithful to what God has allowed me to see and tell as many as possible about this. And then last, my own blog that I publish on a monthly basis goes out to church leaders across the world, and it keeps growing in numbers to share my findings. The third key activity is to, relying on Tim here, is to coach. Based on the experience that God has given me, missions leaders, both missions executives and national field leaders, approached me and asked me if I could coach or mentor them. I just want to tell you about one guy. His name is Rako. Rako I met in Yangon in Myanmar like 5 years ago. And we were in this conference, and he approached me and said, would you walk with me? Rako is one of the most amazing apostolic leaders I've seen. He's from a part of southern India that's largely Christian. And he was sent by his Indian church as a missionary to northern India to serve among Muslims and Hindus, where there's barely any church. He is a serial entrepreneur, and he basically starts a new missionary training program every other year. So like an all-nations Christian college, he goes a place, he rallies students, and he runs a two-year program, and in the second year, he's already looking out for the next place where he can start another missionary training program, and he has literally, over the years, planned more than a dozen of such missionary training programs. But he sees as this his graduates, not as we do it in Western Bible colleges. Okay, you're graduated, you get your diploma or certificate, off you go. No, he sees them as his personal disciples. So now he travels all around, and his disciples are all over northern India. They're in Bhutan, they're in Myanmar, they're in Nepal. And they have planted hundreds and thousands of churches all over the place. And he goes from one area, like Paul, right, to the next and visits them and encourages them. Honestly, I ask myself sometimes, what am I giving Rako? But he says, Emmanuel, every time we talk, I feel so encouraged. And so, Rako or similar, I have a Zoom call either on a monthly basis, or some, it's even more intense, it's every other week, and equip them in their ongoing missions leadership. And then lastly, so we have research, publish, coach, and train. And I want to tell you how God is blessing what I'm doing beyond, again, my wildest expectations. 4 years ago, an international ministry organization asked me to create a training. We call it Exponential Disciple Making and Church Planting. Here you see the inaugural event in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. Ethiopian leaders loved it. The senior leadership of the ministry I created it for loved it. It's basically a three-day on-site training in discipleship, and also how to multiply small groups. And it comes, as I said, out of the findings of my research. National partners in other countries loved it so much. Senior leadership of the ministry loved it so much. And they said, we will adopt this as our signature training. And we want to take this to 70 nations, to all our ministry partners. And so I started to build a team of trainers. Today we have 30 trained and certified trainers who train this across the board. Today, this simple booklet is translated in 10 different languages, and more than 10,000 church leaders and church planters have been trained in this. Every single month, and now comes the best part, two or three training events happen in some place in the world to reach the 70 countries. More than 200 are trained, more church leaders or church planters, every single month. And the good thing is, I have no part in it. I'm actually not with this ministry anymore. The 30 that I've trained as trainers carry it on, and it travels the globe. I appreciate that you will pray for me in a moment. And so here, case in point, the next slide bit, please. Next week, I will travel to Cameroon. And another ministry organization has asked me to create a coaching training for ministry. So not the business type coaching, but particularly for Christian ministry, and in particular for movement ministry. Both Anna and I were certified coaches, so we created this training. And again, leadership loved it so much that they say, we want to train all. I mean, these numbers are mind-blowing. I'm saying them, please understand me, I find them still mind-blowing. We will train all our 28,000 church planters in 60 countries in this training. So last week, the first translation into French was produced. And next week, I will travel to Cameroon. And the way this works is, in Cameroon, all the country leaders of the Francophone countries of Africa will come for this inaugural training in French. And we have also selected the best trainers of these regions. And I will do a 4-day coaching training. And then I will do a training of trainers, and these guys will travel back to the 12 countries, and they will take the training. My French is petit, right? I can't train in French. So they will then carry this forward in French and use it. And I stand here, friends, with two sentiments in my heart. A, I'm blown away. I said, I've given this to God, and He has multiplied it beyond my wildest dreams. And my desire is, I feel there's more to come. God knows what, and I covet your prayers for this. And I thank everyone who has prayed. If you're interested, final slide, please. I put some small prayer cards here on the table. And if you pray and they help you as a reminder, feel free to take one. This is where I'm on social media and my webpage. And if you want to partner financially, it's also gift aided through our missions organization, Globe. But above all, I covet your prayers.
Very good.
Thank you. You're going to come up and play. And that's fantastic. Thank you, Emmanuel. It's just like, wow. Did you get a bit of wow there? So we are talking, Anthony and I, the team, talking to Emmanuel about how we can get more involved in supporting what he's doing. Because it just feels to me like the Spirit's in it. But let's pray for now. So I wonder if a few people could come up. As we do, just come and join us. Come and get around Emmanuel. I just sense that there's just a whole lot more that God is going to do with us as we partner together as family with Emmanuel. I had, there was a verse from Isaiah, Emmanuel, that we used on Friday morning when we were praying about growth, about river growth, and I was going to share it this morning, but then timing-wise I thought I'd just be talking too long, but then it just struck me that maybe the verse is for you. So here we go, see what you make of it. It's Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the site of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that will be true because of the impact that Emmanuel's ministry is having. That you will need to enlarge what you do, that you'll need to keep stretching out. I believe it's a time, Emmanuel, of not holding back, of going for it, of lengthening your cords. And also because of that, to keep asking, how do I get strengthened? Who do I need around me, support systems, to strengthen my stakes? And who can I look to help me spread out, expand to the right and to the left, not just in the direction that I've been going. Amen.
I'm always impacted by the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, and the way that came about, some of it we have to speculate, but it seems to me that Jesus wanted the disciples to be completely and totally and intimately involved in the provision of the bread and fish for that crowd. And he said, you give them something to eat. And so in my mind, it wasn't just Jesus breaking the bread and breaking out the fish. I think the disciples were doing that as they went round to the sections of the crowd. And you know, the disciples saw a need, but they had no idea how that need was going to be met. And then it was met in a completely supernatural way that involved them. And I think there's a great parallel with you, Emmanuel. You saw a need. You saw a harvest field. You saw a need of that great need in the world and for training and for leaders to be trained, and you had no idea how it was going to happen. But as you've offered the little that you have, that you thought you had, and maybe thought you would offer it and then it was going to be off to somebody else, God has continued to help you multiply that in your hands, and for you still to be involved. And I guess the simple word to you is just keep on breaking the bread. Yeah. Keep on breaking the bread, keep on breaking up the fish, keep on giving it out. And sometimes it's going to go to others, as you've said, and sometimes you're going to carry on being involved, but just keep on breaking the bread, keep on bringing what you have. Keep on bringing what you have.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just felt it was great the way you shared that you never had the idea how big this was going to get. And if you need a confirmation of the word that we sow the seed, but God gives the increase, that's it. And I just pray that you, from all the time, just receive from God the things you need for the moment. And that the weight of the size of things and what God does with the increase doesn't actually weigh on you at all. That what you do is, as Andy's just said, that God will keep giving you bread and fish to break and distribute. But you won't have to carry more and more and more of it. You just need to keep breaking and sharing what you've got. And God will give you the influence. He'll bring the 5,000, the 10,000, however many he wants to feed. It's not your responsibility for the numbers, but it is your responsibility to keep sharing. And I just pray blessing on you right now in the name of Jesus. Increase and the influence of this man, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, God, for Emmanuel and his ministry and just the humbleness that he carries. And I thank you, God, that you're using him to provide and that he steps out and does that. And I just pray simply in this season as well that you provide for him, that he would know your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Fantastic.